Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to your unofficial Eurovision podcast. Podcasting, the brave new world of the internet. It was the future 5 years ago. Now it's just a little aside to, you know, an extra bit of tool for your website. But, you know, doesn't matter. I still enjoy it, and I'm glad you're all out there enjoying listening to it as well. Speaking of websites and speaking of Eurovision, there are many websites that cover Eurovision. We've mentioned a couple of them on the podcast, but let's go into depth with just one of them. Joining me now from ESC Today, we have Barry Vinegar. Hello.
Hello.
ESC Today is rather big, isn't it?
It's rather big and rather draining on my bank account, unfortunately. But yes, it's the biggest fans website for the Eurovision Song Contest.
And of course, it has a tie into the contest nowadays because of the history and lineage of the site.
Yes, we've managed to implement a few changes in the Eurovision over the years. Sitsa Baku, who set the site up, is now head of communications and PR for the Eurovision Song Contest, leaving me with a website to run and no budget to do it with. It's great fun, but the problem we have is that most people see Eurovision as one night of the year. They don't realise how much goes on round the clock for 9-10 months of the year, and how many people come to the website. Something like 35 million page views. It's big.
So how did you end up taking over from Sitsi? So Sitsi obviously moves up, gets all the glamour and the big press rooms and a little D on his badge, and you're left there carrying the bank book, which seems to be full of red ink.
I don't like to be gagged. And as running the biggest independent website, when something needs to be said, I will say it. And I will throw my website behind it, and I'll do what the fans and the readers on the website want us to do. If you go official, you have to bite your tongue and do what you're allowed to do. But for example, 2007, 10 Eastern European countries qualifying out of 10. Something had to be done, and we had the power to say so and help to bring in the 2 semi-final system. So there's something to be said. I might not be driving around in Mercedes, but I can be true to my heart and make sure that I stand up for the competition that we all love.
Now, there must be a really hard balance point editorially. Okay, I mean, I know that you've probably got lots of writers out there quite happy writing about their own country, but you can't afford to alienate any one country, can you? I mean, if you, let's say last year you said something really nasty about Aishel and Azerbaijan, you'd have problems this year. What's the balancing like for editorial?
That's easy. I mean, we have to be objective in everything. We don't have favourites. We report down the line. We are neutral. We'd never take money from any particular broadcaster or anyone connected to competing in the competition. ESC Today remains totally neutral. Now, that can be difficult at times because, for example, this year, Azerbaijan probably sending 2 or 3 press releases a day, whereas Denmark, I don't think we've had a single press release since the national final. So a large part of our job is making sure we try and give as much fair coverage and equal coverage to each country as we can. This year, we've actually managed to interview every single participating artist. That's the first time we've managed to do that. And it's with the smallest team that we've had so far because it's so expensive here. There's only 6 of us working here. And to do 39 interviews, cover 78 individual technical rehearsals, 39 press conferences, 9 dress rehearsals and 3 live shows, I think we're doing pretty well.
What about the rest of the year? What do you normally do?
Try and save money and work out how to get together enough money to keep the website going for another year. I work in marketing, freelance. You can't get a full-time job when you need as much holiday as I do to cover Eurovision. It's 16 days on the ground here, national finals, working nights, working days. So really just earning whatever I can to keep the website going and to be at this amazing event.
Do you ever feel that sometimes the website's just a big ball and chain around your ankle and just wonder, you want to go, you know what, I'm not going to bother this year, I'm just going to skip a year, like Georgia did last year in Russia?
Probably more times than I eat food. Yes, it is, but it's in the blood, you can't give it up. It's so special, and being at Eurovision is just incredible. 2,500 journalists here, loads of fans, people from all over Europe that you get to know and love and chat to on Facebook until way past your bedtime every night. Yeah. My other half's a bit of a Eurovision widow, unfortunately, but what can you do?
What's your favourite song in Eurovision that's finished second?
That's an interesting question. It's finished second. Shady Lady, probably. Ukraine, 2008. Should have won. It was so obvious that it should have won that they changed the voting system and brought back the juries to make sure that Russia didn't win it, as someone didn't win it again.
How much of a moratorium do you have on stories like that? I mean, you said that once independent, need to give everybody fair coverage, but when can you start pitching about Russia's and voting systems and strange results?
When the results are known. It wouldn't be fair for me to say anything personally or otherwise before the result, because we have to make sure that we help to make the Eurovision Song Contest as fair a competition as possible, and we fought to bring in certain changes that have been picked up by the EBU. For example, the two semi-finals splitting the block voting, bringing back the juries to make sure block voting doesn't change the winner in the final. But after it's all said and done, we can look back and say what we thought. I've got very clear favourites. Some of them are songs that I want to win because I like them. Some are singers I want to win because I think it would be very good for the credibility of Eurovision, and I think they could go on to have international careers. Some because they're fun, and one or two that I don't want to win for various reasons, all of which obviously are for the good of the competition.
It's the 10th anniversary of the website this year. What happens over the next 5 or 10 years? Obviously Eurovision evolves. Do you have to just be reactive, or can you be proactive with the website now?
I think it's important to be proactive. We haven't been for the last 3 years. We've kept things the same purely because we don't have the money to invest in redeveloping the site. It's always been done voluntarily. Everyone working on the website volunteers. And in the past, we had a great guy who built the website and built the back end of the website and the technical side. But he now works for Eurovision.tv. He's gone to the other side. So if there's anyone listening to this that knows a thing or two about MySQL, PHP, loves the Eurovision Song Contest and wants to be part of an amazing team, then please email me at Barry@esctoday.com. We'd love to hear from you. We need all the help we can get.
Okay, and if you picked up Barry's trembly knee throughout most of that recording, my apologies. Just pretend it's the beat of the old Work Your Magic song from Belarus. Barry, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.